Already we are nearing the end of the liturgical year. This is already the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. And soon we shall be seeing and revisiting those Sundays after the Epiphany that were not celebrated at the beginning of the year because we ran out of time. And so we had to start with Septuagesima and the rest of the seasons of the Holy Liturgy, which go back in time to the very beginning of the Church. And of course today, among other things, we have the fact of the great miracles that were performed by Christ. And of course, you and I are witnesses of the great miracles of Christ. Principally, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The fact that Christ, through the ordination of the priesthood and consecration of bishops, enables us who are nothing to pronounce his words in his name with his Holy Spirit who hovers above us at that hour. Thus we have the epiclesis over which we put our hands that are consecrated by the Holy Spirit over the gifts of bread and wine. And thus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the command of Christ, at whose command, when he said, "Let there be light," there was indeed light. We pronounce his words as he commanded, "Do this in commemoration of me." And the bread and wine are miraculously transformed through the power of transubstantiation, which is the best way to explain the miracle. It is not perhaps the only exhaustive way to explain it, but it's the only way that we know about it. And so we receive what we receive from God and from Holy Mother the Church. And the bread and wine become the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. Now this miracle is far above anything else that we have. And of course we have another miracle that all of us here, or most of us here, I don't think there's anyone who hasn't. Some of us received this miracle a few weeks ago, that by the words of God and the Church and the priests of the Church, and it doesn't matter who the priest is or how truly holy he is in his spiritual life or not holy, pronouncing the very, very sacred words, a person who up to that moment, created by God and by his or her parents, was totally possessed by the devil, through the exorcisms and then the outpouring of the water with the correct formula of baptism, are cleansed, are purified, are elevated from a natural way to a supernatural way. And thus we have the gift of baptism, which is necessary for salvation. Of course, the devil hates that. And we're happy that he hates it. We love it. And those little beautiful babies that have been liberated, and ultimately speaking, including you and I, rejoice that the devil is expelled by the power of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so those miracles are far greater than that which we see here. Here in the Gospel we see two miracles. The first miracle, one with which we should be very familiar, is the miracle of the woman that was afflicted by an issue of blood, a flow of blood. Here it says 12 years. And just by touching, and this also is part of the teaching of the church regarding relics, just by touching the prayer garb of our Lord, she was healed. And of course, we know this person. Much more has been told to us about this person in the history of Christ, in the history of the church. This woman is none other than Saint Veronica, who touched the garment of our Lord from behind and was immediately healed. And she was to be rewarded for her faith at the Passion of Christ with the beautiful image, the miraculous image of the veil that we know as the veil of Saint Veronica. And this was on the way to this other equally great miracle. This person came and adored him. And you know, that's one of the things that's important to remember when we are asking God for favors, for miracles, whatever. We need to, first of all, acknowledge that he is God and adore him. And even when we ask the Blessed Mother or Saint Joseph for miracles, we need to ask them in such a way that we remind ourselves, not them, they don't need to be reminded of anything, that we remind ourselves that it is by the power of God that they have this power to confer on us these graces, these miracles. So we must first of all adore God. And then he tells our Lord about his little girl. Now his little girl was, according to tradition, already dead. She was already dead. And our Lord comes, nevertheless. And they tell him it's a waste of time. Let the master alone. One must never, ever let the master alone. One must never, ever stop beseeching God for what we need. We must always worship him. And so he arrives, and according to the custom of certain countries, including South America, which came through Spain, but in Spain we have gotten rid of it. We are too important now for those things. When someone dies, a group of people is paid to sing dirges, to mourn publicly, to cry publicly, because the family is embarrassed to do so publicly themselves. Las lloronas, we say in Spanish, those who weep. The weepers. And in the time of Christ, there were even musical instruments. And so he puts them all out, and they were laughing at him. You think you can raise her from the dead? She's dead already. Let her be. Let's bury her. Let's get on with this. Not so. Our Lord throws them out, and then he goes. And he says, she is not dead, she's asleep, the sleep of death, over which he had control, still does. And he went up and took her by the hand. In other accounts of this same miracle, he says, Talitha quoum, little girl, I say to thee, get up. And she got up. And then he said, give her something to eat. Because appetite is a sign of good health. Lack of appetite is not a sign of good health at all. I know that very well. And so she gets up and she eats, and everyone glorifies God. They cannot believe what they have seen. And you know, in this shrine, Our Lady's miraculous statue that has been here since 1929, on many occasions has performed miracles of healing. And so we need to continue to beseech her for our own selves and for those whom we love who are sick. And there are some, perhaps some, who are here who should have been dead 5 or 6 years ago from cancer. There was nothing else to be done, and they're here. And others who had other diseases. Lately, one of our acolytes who is no longer here all the time but does come occasionally was cured of 2 tumors, one in the brain, one in the pancreas. Being a young man, this is very quick death. And it's gone. They're gone. The doctors didn't know what happened. But we do. I do. So we have here so many wondrous gifts from God, so many miracles, and the most wonderful miracle of all, going back to the beginning of this, is that which we hopefully will receive in just a few minutes, when after I pronounce the words of consecration, you will be able to receive the most holy body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and in time, the Son of Mary. Let us give thanks to God and praise Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.